the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Here we go, here we go. Red lights, I could never stop. A dreamer with the fever to be great was all I ever want. Was all I ever wanted.
Bond. James Bond.
It's time. Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening, we thank you for choosing this podcast, listening and socially distancing. Rest in peace, the great Sean Connery passed away earlier this week. The age of 90, the one and only James Bond. For there were many more that played him afterwards, but never quite like the original version. Also, many other roles which he's famous for, none of which Grant knows, but anyway.
Can't say I do.
Can't say that, but anyway, the master himself, James Bond. Grant, how we doing?
Good, I'm just the god of picking NFL games, why not?
Far from it, my friend, far from it. On the show tonight, recaps of the NFL and college weekends. Not otherwise a lot of busy stuff going on here this
Pretty
weekend.
Pretty boring weekend.
Gonna have going. How was your Halloween? Did you get some decent candy?
Well, we didn't really go anywhere.
True, but
it's basically just taking what Sound Engineer Ben had. Like that was
right. Well, that's usually what I do for Halloween. Is I just wind up taking what Sound Engineer Ben has anyway. So it works out well for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about anybody else.
Well, me too.
But it works out very well for me.
Except Ben, but he only wants the chocolate stuff anyway.
Well, right. Well, that's exactly right. I have decided that I don't know anything about the NFL anymore, so I don't know why anybody would listen to any pick I make. And judging by tonight's result, I don't even know. As we record this, it's halftime of
14-6 Giants
Bucks Giants game, and I'm like, what? The Giants, by the way, wearing these sweet all white uniforms tonight,
and
the
Bucks finally wearing the red unis, which looks sweet.
They're not red.
Yes, they are.
They're
are you colorblind?
Red. They're mostly red.
Okay, people at home. Are the Bucks red uniforms? Are they red or are they not red? I think, or are they a red orange to you?
They're red orange.
They're red. They're red and pewter.
Any way you slice it,
it's red.
Whatever color they're in, they're playing like crap. It's not going.
They're playing like the pewter one. They're playing like the red.
Pewter power, baby. Pewter power. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get into talking about the National Football League.
The Vikings won a game! Wait, what? We won a game?
Unbelievable. So yeah, let's address that right away, because we I don't know how many times we're going to get a chance to play this year.
Go Vikings, let's win this game! Go Vikings, honor
yeah, baby.
Game. Go get that first down, let game!
I couldn't believe it, honestly.
Fight.
We all know how this is supposed to go, right? You take a lead at Lambeau.
And then it
fades away in some epic
gradually
fashion.
Come. Wait for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the old Metrodome horn there, I think.
That's the horn that's kind of obsolete.
That's the true Galler horn.
That's an obsolete horn.
But a horn? Well, we'll talk about horns later, but unbelievably, the Vikings...
I thought the Vikings would go in there and get crushed.
The Vikes go punch for punch with
Aaron Rodgers
and the Packers. Dalvin Cook has him. Have a day, Dalvin Cook.
Have a day, young fella.
Have a day. And it all came down to the biggest play of the game right here.
Third and 9 from the 50. Cousins with a screen left to Dalvin. Gets the 50, angles right, ambles to the first down, cuts right 35, makes a Packer miss, and is loose! Touchdown! Four touchdowns today for Dalvin Cook!
Amazing game.
The immortal Paul Allen.
Yes, PA, sorry K fan, on the call. What a game. I mean, Dalvin Cook, for all the complaints you hear about, being overpaid or
you know, he's not overpaid.
He is the offense.
Oh, no doubt. I looked at this game and I thought, man, how much are we going to get beat by this week? Because going to Lambeau, it's windy and it's not the best field conditions. I thought there's no way in hell we're going to win this football game. But apparently over the bye week, they looked at themselves and thinking, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What they were doing wrong is having Kirk throw the ball 20 times a game. That was a huge mistake.
Where Dalvin was right?
Where Kirk was wrong.
I mean, that's just an impressive effort. And
that's true.
Let's give all the emphasis is going to be on Cook and how well they ran the ball and everything else. But
yeah,
let's give a lot of credit to that Vikings defense.
Who and basically, the Vikings offensive line.
Well, yes, that's a given. But let's not forget two things. One, the Packers absolutely are going to get mauled in the playoffs by somebody that can run the ball. Now, it's not going to happen Thursday night for reasons we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But Detroit can't run the ball worth the damn. It's mostly Chicago, marginally. All it's going to take is a team that can run the ball against Green Bay.
I didn't realize how bad the Packers defense was until I saw the Vikings run the ball at will. I'm thinking, you have Kenny Clark in the middle. He's a pro boy. He's one of the best defensive tackles, one of the run-stuffing defensive tackles in the league. And Bradbury and Elflander is moving right out of the way. I'm just like, I'm really confused of what the Packers did in this game. Now, I'm more impressed with Zimmer in the secondary, because that secondary is gum and scotch tape, and we're relying on Mark Fields to make plays, and Zach Metellus, who's like a six-string defensive back to cover Devontae Adams, and they win the football game?
And surprisingly, the Packers haven't even given up that many rushing yards per game, and they just got gouged.
Yeah, and Kevin King wasn't in the game for the Packers either, which definitely helps.
Well, it just seems so strange to me that they would just have no ability to stop them. Now, to be fair, the Vikings did rush for 134 yards in the first game they played. But
they were behind.
But it's a whole different deal in this game. And actually, believe it or not, that first game, you know, the Vikings had more yardage. And, you know,
yeah, but they're playing from behind.
Right, but it was all garbage time stuff.
Yeah.
The Packers, who rolled up 522 yards in the first game, were quote-unquote held to 400 yards. And they ran it for 109 yards.
Yeah.
But I think this is the game. And as we talked during the game, one of the things I said was, this is going to come down to who makes the first defensive stop.
And it happened to be Minnesota.
And that happened to be the Vikings, because Marquez Valdez-Scantling
wrapped both hands around his throat.
Yeah,
I think it was St. Brown, though.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was Equanimeous St. I get the
three. Yeah, he had his gloves wrapped around his
twice.
Throat. Because he dropped two passes, one in the end zone and one on third down.
Right, and that's the kind of thing where
then
you're relying on a playmaker to make that play, and you don't have it, and it's, again, Equanimeous St. Brown.
I mean, as much as I hate Green Bay, they don't give Rodgers any help. They don't. They don't trade for any. They don't sign any. They don't draft any. They draft his replacement and a third-string running back. Why? I know they go by the best player available. Was Jordan Love really the best player available when they picked him? Probably not.
Probably not, but
I mean, go get a receiver. He needs one. Go get one. Go get Will Fuller. Go bring back Randall Cobb. Go get Brandon Cooks. They're very serviceable wide receivers who are veterans in this game who know what they're doing. I don't want to rely on Equanimeous St. Brown to make plays for me. I know Adams can only get you so far, and he has. He's got seven touchdowns against the Vikings in two games or something like that. But you need him to just take some pressure off of Adams, because every third down he's looking for 17 wherever he is. It's ridiculous. I'm just confused what the Packers are doing in their front office.
The Packers, to me, were limited also by, strangely enough, in their own ballpark, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
A 23-mile-an-hour wind at kickoff.
A gust of 40.
And, yeah, it's not like it was a real...
If anything wasn't nailed down out there, it was blowing all over the place.
Right. Exactly right. Packers, you know, also didn't help themselves by committing 9 penalties, including a couple of critical ones down on the Vikings'
third touchdown
drive, and then of course the screen to Cook just absolutely devastated them.
Tackling
3 for 5 on 4. This was like fourth down go for it time, and then an odd decision by the Packers at the end of the game to go for two.
Which they got.
Which they got it, which was a close call. But just an interesting ball game. And again, not that Cousins did anything special. He's 11 for 14 for 160 yards, but he never made a mistake.
You know what? If that beats teams, that's good enough. We don't need Cousins to put the ball near 30 times a game.
But you had some players making some key. Chad Beebe with a big catch. Yeah. We got a first down on a third and long. We had
KJ Osborne making special teams plays.
Right. And then, of course, we had our boy DJ. It was a Wallum.
DJ Wanham.
Wanham. Sorry, not Wallum. Wanham.
From Mississippi State.
Who was a fourth?
Fourth or fifth round pick? I can't remember.
Who made the play of the game by crippling Aaron Rodgers at the end, and that was ruled a fumble, so it is officially a turnover.
Oh, yeah, it was a fumble.
But listen to the receiving core. Devontae caught seven. Robert Tonyan, Indiana State, caught five. Jace Sternberger.
Other tight end.
Caught three. One catch for A.J. Dillon. One catch for Scantling. One catch for Malik Taylor. One catch for the aforementioned Equanimeous St. Brown. One catch for Tyler Irvin. One catch for Darius Shepherd. Go Bison.
Yeah.
Six catches for Jamal Williams on the floaters out of the backfield. By the way, A.J. Dillon tested positive for the Rona.
So he out of here.
So we'll see how that works out. But so if you look at, again, the Vikings had 324 total yards, and my amateur math would tell me that Dalvin Cook accounted for more than half of those yards.
Yeah.
163 rushing yards, three touchdowns, 63 yards receiving.
In the air.
That's 226 out of 324.
I think that's a rough estimate.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. So, Vikings win. Eric Kendricks, by the way. Shout out to Eric Kendricks for playing.
Leader.
12 tackles. Huge, huge game for him. Almost every guy out there, I mean, Troy Dye, Mark Fields, like you said, or even Hercules Matafata got a couple of tackles.
Yeah,
he is. So, I'm not going to go crazy and say that the Vikings are going to the playoffs by any means.
They have a very winnable stretch of games.
They do.
Starting with a mediocre Detroit team that needs miracles to beat the Falcons, but I can't say that because we lost to the Falcons.
Right.
And they were in it for a half against Indianapolis and just fell apart. It's just the way Detroit does things, and the Vikes are at home, which I guess helps, but in 2020, nothing really helps you. But the way I'm seeing the Vikes right now, it's a very winnable stretch. If you could win your next three or four games, they're all very winnable. And you go into Tampa Bay with a 500 record, that's pretty good.
And as we're seeing tonight, anybody can beat anybody the way
including
this one's going.
Including the way the Giants are beating the Bucks.
Although the Bucks are driving, so that should be something for that. Let's go back to Thursday night quick. We had the Falcons beat the Panthers 25-17.
Did not watch.
Well, we did because we were doing the show at the time, but
okay.
But not exactly setting the world on fire. Both teams came down to Teddy Bridgewater making a mistake at the end, and really what cost them.
Great. They won a game. The Falcons are winning games. You're hurting your draft position, and that's really all they're doing.
Well, and again, they were in this game all the way. I mean, what it came down to was the Panthers are at the Falcons 30 at the end of the game, and Teddy throws and gets, going for DJ Moore and gets picked off by the immortal Bleedy Ray Wilson. At the end.
So why'd you pronounce that?
Well, I tried. But good effort by the Panthers, but they're, again, limited somewhat by what their own, offense can do. And pretty tough there. Falcons, under the right circumstances, are still a dangerous team.
No.
They are.
They're trying to rebuild, and winning games does not help you in your rebuild.
I wouldn't be shocked if Raheem Morris gets that job.
I think he should get that job. I think he's the right man for that job. But Matt Ryan's getting old. You need to get a replacement at some point. I mean, the Falcons just give me bad vibes.
Yeah, I do. I agree. But Ryan Succop makes a field goal.
They just
14
do. It's just like they have pieces, but they don't have a good team. But they still kick the Vikings' ass.
Certainly not the total package by any stretch of the imagination. Let's go to Buffalo, where the Bills go to 6-2 with a 24-21 win.
Over the Patriots.
Over the Los Patriots. And Cam Newton, ladies and gentlemen, I'm officially burying Cam Newton for the year. He's terrible. 174-yard pedestrian effort. 9 carries for 54 yards, but unfortunately, the play of the game, his fumble, as the Patriots are driving for the game-tying field goal. It's their fumble! And the Patriots go down to defeat. Not that the Bills exactly were playing the role of world beater.
No, but...
But Josh Allen had a decent game. Stephon Diggs had a decent game. Two touchdowns for the unheralded Zach Moss. Between he and Singletary, boy, they both ran for over 80 yards. Really controlled the ball game. The Patriots actually did outgain the Bills in this game. But it came down to that critical turnover. And I don't see a lot of difference between the two in this one. I think Buffalo is kind of what I thought they were. They're a middle of the pack playoff team that on the right day can get you, but they just look kind of eh.
But when they play a good team, I mean, they just fall apart. Even against, I know this is a division.
Well, we've seen that the last few weeks.
I know. You know it's a division game, and Belichick knows everybody so well. I don't know if that's more coaching or if it's more playing, because the Patriots were in position to at least tie that game. And they could have won the game if they would have kept going with where the rest. Say Cam gets down and doesn't fumble, they could win that game with a touchdown pass. So, but their lack of weapons are still catching up to them. Not keeping a decent receiver around is certainly not helping them. But just the more I look at the Patriots, I'm like, without Brady, you're kind of nothing. Brady's taken this meh team to the playoffs every year and to Super Bowls. And when you put another pedestrian quarterback in there, they're 6-10. I mean, it's just now I can see why Tom wanted to leave. No talent anywhere. The running backs are hurt all the time. They don't have a decent receiver. The only one who does is on IR. I don't get the Patriots. Man, I just don't.
Speaking of teams I don't get, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Break up the Bengals, baby. 31-20 victories over the Titans.
Matt Burrow, he's something, though.
Called it.
It must have been the white uniforms. Those are some sweet uniforms.
I said at the beginning of the year again, I thought Joe Burrow was a good pick, and I thought he was going to do well this year if he got a little talent around him.
Yeah, I'm with you now.
I just didn't think that talent was going to be Giovanni Bernard.
Well, Joe Mixon was out.
But Bernard comes in, rushes for 62 yards and a touchdown, catches a touchdown pass, and Burrow goes for 249 and a couple of touches, doesn't get sacked, most importantly with the Bengals. And
first time this year.
The Titans, who appear to have lost all semblance of a pass rush, Derrick Henry gets his 112 yards and a touchdown. Whatever. Corey Davis has a big day, and Tannehill has a fine day.
But he throws a goal line interception.
Yeah, but that's the... And he made a mistake, and the Titans just aren't good enough to overcome those mistakes. By the way, the Titans apparently also have a historically bad third down percentage. They're like the worst team in NFL history through 8 games about third down conversion.
On any third down?
Yeah, well over 60% conversion rate. Teams are converting against Tennessee on third down. And
that's
if you
bad.
Can't get off the field on third down...
The Vikings know that feeling.
Man... You're going to lose a lot of games if you can't get off the field on third down. And against teams like Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they got no shot to win that game.
But I just don't really understand Tennessee. I mean, you have a great ground attack, a good defense.
I've kind of given up hoping that they're... I don't think you can right now assume that they're among the league elites.
I'd say I think they're in the playoff bubble, but they're not the Super Bowl bubble. Like Colin Cowherd likes to say, they're not in the Super Bowl bubble, but they're in the playoff bubble.
Yeah, they're just a very good team. And what they're setting up now to do, Grant, is if they don't hold on to the division lead, and we'll talk about the Colts in a minute.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do the same thing they did last year and run the table on the road.
Which they very well could
do.
Well,
and they might, but I don't know, as much as I think this team is personnel-wise probably better, yeah. I'm not sure, they're not going to sneak up on anybody again.
No.
Because teams are going to take the Henry straight away.
They're going to stack the box and say, Tannehill, you beat us. Derrick Henry, you beat us.
And while Tannehill has been able so far to make it work, he still's got a mediocre group of receivers.
Yep.
And he's got a kicking problem. And
hey,
Gostkowski is missing big kicks. Of course, he hit the one against the Vikings. But,
yeah, he doesn't miss any other.
But team. Missing kicks and not putting yourself in position to consistently score
is going to hurt this team very much in the long run, I think. But yeah. Kudos to the Bengals. They're not going to make the playoffs by any means, they are going to get back to, I think, at least a little level of respectability and win a few more games this year. And certainly, I think they have the capacity to win a whole lot more. Raiders 16, Browns 6. Get it out of your system.
Yay.
This might take a while.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boicerously.
Okay, done.
Yeah. Why did I pick the Browns? Honestly.
Yeah, you pick against me, it's going to work, really? Try that again.
6 points, Baker Mayfield? Really?
Try again next week.
6 points?
6 points.
12 of 25 or 120, you suck. Kareem Hunt, 66 yards.
You fell into the Baker Mayfield circle. You fell into it.
Seriously.
I thought, you know what? I got Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, and Derek Carr. I'm taking the Raiders.
Well, Waller was a non-factor, but let's give it up for Jacobs, who just grinds out games like that. 128 yards on the ground, 31 carries. I mean, they absolutely rode his horse. And, of course, your boy Hunter Renfrow with the touchdown catch, the one touchdown the whole game, as Daniel Carlson makes a whole bunch of short field goals. Again, every time I get on the Browns bandwagon, I have to jump off. And that takes them to 5-3. You know what? They're going to be around.
You just got to win four games and they're a playoff.
Right.
Maybe not even that.
Raiders have gotten to the four-win plateau now. And I in that division, they're not going to win the division, even though they've beaten Kansas City.
Both these teams are playoff teams.
But both these teams, right now, you're saying on November 2nd that both these teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Really? Okay. Raiders and Browns are both going to make the playoffs. All right. Mark it down.
Another. I'm going to check the AFC standings.
Legend prediction there. But
yeah, I've been right so far these past couple of weeks.
I don't think we need to be bragging up our 5-8 and 4-9 picks records this week.
But who's two games out?
Yeah, that would be you. So
Thank you.
I don't think we got a lot to write home about there. Let's move on. We don't need to talk anymore about this game. Colts 41, Lions 24. This is the way games are supposed to go. Colts beating an inferior opponent, even though they was at home. Usual workmanlike day for the Colts offense. They, go out there and Phillip Rivers throws as an efficient game, 262 yards and three touchdowns. Matt Stafford throws for 336 and three. But again, the rushing attack for the Detroit Lions, or lack thereof, they ran the ball for 29 yards.
And that's
can't win NFL games rushing the ball.
That's of Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson. I don't.
And DeAndre Swift. So
I mean,
Peterson had five carries for 7 yards. Swift 6 carries for 1 yard. Agnew 1 carry for 11 yards. Stafford 1 carry for. Nobody could run the ball on that roster.
It seems like they've lacked a good running back since Barry Sanders. Let's just be honest here. Since Barry, they haven't had a decent running back.
Nope.
I mean, there's two positions that are cursed in Detroit. The quarterback position and the running back position. Yes, Stafford's broken that mold a little bit.
Both of which are reasonably critical to winning NFL
games. Would be very true. I mean, they've had some great receivers. I mean, Calvin Johnson, Marvin Jones,
right.
Kenny Galladay, Johnny Morton. You know, it's just...
Johnny Morton. I like Johnny Morton.
Herman Moore.
Let's give it up, by the way, for Jordan Wilkins.
Who in the hell is that?
Who joined the...
he's a Colts running back.
Colts running back, right. Matt Stappy.
Matt
Stappy. He had himself a day against that...
Have a day, young fella.
Fabulous Lions defense. 20 carries for 89 yards and a touch. Also with a receiving 24 yards there. So a good day for him overall. But Phillip Rivers, steady as she goes, boys. And of course it didn't help that Detroit's really only it's just Stafford is.
What you just said about Detroit right there is Detroit in the. You can't come up with a good word to describe the Lions because it's just they're the Lions. They're mediocre every season. They either suck, below average, or average. I mean, they can't get to that like that 9, 10, 11 win plateau you need to get to be called a somewhat good team. They just can't find ways to win. I mean, just they you win on a miracle against the Falcons, and then you just lose to the Colts. Like, I'm just confused with their defense. I know they have great off, they have some great receivers. If you can't run the ball, they're just going to play three, drop eight, and say, beat us. And pass the ball all you want. I got eight guys in coverage. Good luck.
Speaking of good luck, Chiefs 35, Jets 9.
Yeah.
Wow. They're halfway there, baby. Speaking of Lions, they're halfway there.
If they go 0-16, are they the worst 0-16 team?
They're certainly getting there. Now, they haven't had, like, Dan Orlovsky running out of the end zone type bad.
I don't think they're the worst 0-16 team.
Well,
I mean, they have some moments where, I mean, like these head coaches say, they're getting better. Like Bill Belichick says, they're better than they were last year. But that team won a game last year, Bill. I mean, they're not like Lions or Browns bad, but they are Jets bad. And Jets bad has been bad since Julian's retired. But they just can't win games. I'm just like... But in their defense, that's a pretty rough schedule they're getting to.
Yeah, 221 total yards in the entire game.
But you're playing Kansas City. That's ridiculous.
They couldn't get it in the end zone. They scored three field goals by the immortal Sergio Castillo. Bonus points if you can tell me where Sergio Castillo went to school, by the way.
Was it somewhere in Mexico?
Was
it a United States school?
Well, it says he was born in La Jolla, Texas.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap.
I don't even. I honestly, though, do not see where he went to college.
They're just like, hey, you off the street, can you kick? See. Okay, good.
Well, I don't think he's Spanish either, but, you know, whatever.
Well, Manny Fernandez wasn't Spanish.
Manny Fernandez?
Dolphins went to college.
Okay. Oh, he played for West Texas A&M. Oh. Well, of course he did.
Oh, of course.
Seriously?
Like Texas A&M.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot, though, that he also did play for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Ottawa Red Blacks, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Red Blacks again, and then he was a commander for San Antonio, BC. He played for the Roughnecks, Houston. BC again.
Did he play for every CFL?
Oh, my God. I think he might have. That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but
he was a CFL All-Star. Did you know this?
No, but he's good. But, like, a level of CFL kickers, David Duval is up here and everybody else is down. David Duval.
But Louis Pasaglia was still the best Canadian kicker.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's just no...
Commander.
Oh, I'm gonna have to. I should have had that clip ready to go.
I think you never showed you.
I did not know that he was a member of the Commanders. Anyway, we're gonna have to find that song later. But the Jets are terrible. The Colts, the Chiefs are very good. And this just in: Patrick Mahomes is a good quarterback.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. He was magnificent.
It's just in. He's good.
Yeah. I'm not sure that there's really any necessary
superlatives. There's no more explanation you need. They're good. It's the Jets. They dominate. Move on. Yeah. And they basically just got second bye week in that schedule.
Exactly. Moving on. We... In this particular case, I think there is going to be a need for some new equipment in this guy's arsenal. I'm just not sure what it is yet.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Sean, was that your offense?
Gotta get a new defense, apparently. not that Tua Tagovailoa was any good.
Also hit the horn for Jared Goff, everybody. That was pathetic.
That was bad. And what's worse is that the Rams started off the game so well.
Yeah,
they sacked Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa,
and they got him on the ground, fumbled. Aaron Donald disrupts everything on that, and the Rams jump out to a lead. But all of a sudden, the immortal Andrew Van Ginkle. What a great name that is, by the way.
That is loose.
Andrew Van Ginkle got loose on a fumble return.
20-15-10-5. Good night, Irene.
From Wisconsin, by the way.
Wisconsin.
Born in Rock Valley, Iowa. Because if your name is Van Ginkle, you were born in Rock Valley, Iowa. No question about it. Jakeem Grant with a punt return touchdown. You don't see many of those anymore.
Very true.
Punt and kick returns are rather the exception.
They're a dying breed.
The Mighty Mouse, Jakeem Grant. I should have had the Mighty Mouse clip here. That's no. Here I come to save the day, Mighty Mouse. No? Okay. Anyway, nice game for Bob Woods, who caught a couple of touchdown passes. Bob Woods. But what happened to the Rams? I don't get that.
They lose some really weird games. I mean, the NFC West, they lose some really weird games. The Niners lose to the Dolphins, the Rams lose to the Dolphins, but they're like blowout scores though. But the Rams are pretty mediocre when Tua throws for 94 yards and a touchdown, and that's good enough to win. But if the offense only counts for 14 points and your special teams and defense, that's an all around kind of win where you felt good in all three phases of the game. Offense scored, the defense scored, and the special teams scored. That's a good day.
May I interrupt for a brief musical interlude here?
Yeah.
That's good. No, love it. We're gonna play that. We're gonna play that clip every time Sergio Castillo makes a field goal. Now he's the commander. Oh God. We got the legend to snort on the air. That's always good. Anyway.
I thought you were the Mighty Mouse theme.
Well, fine, but we're going to have to. We'll get into that.
I mean, you wanted to play it, so.
All right. Fine. Let's see here. There we go. All right.
BS presents this program in color.
That's the color?
A little old school.
That was accurate.
That's the way it
went. That was good, though.
There is a comedian named Andy Kaufman that did it better, far better than I ever could. Here I come to save the day. Like that? That's what you're looking for?
Yeah, right, I guess
anyway,
so.
Moving on, because the show is complete. We have lost all hope on this show of what's going on here. I think I might have to just because it's that good to hear that again. I'm amazed I actually got that to work on the air, but let's try that again, shall we? One more time. We have way too much fun on this show.
That's very true.
That's so good. Anyway.
This is our Saturday nights.
It must be. Anyway, moving on. Steelers over the Ravens in what turned out to be a doozy of a game. But again, the same conclusion, Grant. Lamar Jackson.
Can't throw a forward pass.
It's just really. And he got picked on the right away by Robert Spillane. What a great name that is!
Is he from Rock Valley, Iowa?
No, he is not. Actually, he does quite have quite the backstory. I read in Peter King's column here, but what a phenomenal football player! But of course, I think of when I think of Spillane, I think of Mickey Spillane, who wrote the Mike Hammer, which is the famous detective and everything. And anyway, that's it was
no idea what that is.
Anyway, I'm rambling here, and I can't pull up the clip in time either, so forget it. We'll just... There it is. Old detective show theme. Anyway, not quite as good as Commander, but...
It sounds like it's all going to be like love scenes or something, you know?
Yeah, how would you know? Watching your smut television later?
No.
Anyway, Robert Spillane with an interception return. And then, from there, Pittsburgh just... it's not like they played great. I mean, the Ravens took the lead and actually had a 10-point lead. And then they let the Steelers in the second half pretty much take over the ballgame. Ebron, Connor, Claypool all scored. And it's not like the Steelers dominated the game by any means, but four turnovers by Baltimore. You can't... I mean, Pittsburgh gained 221 yards. And... won the game despite being outgained by almost 200 and some yards. But four turnovers, that just can't happen.
No, I think, but the more I look at Pittsburgh, I'm like, this is the most overrated undefeated team I think I've ever seen. Like, they're good, but I don't think they're undefeated material. I know they've won every game they've played so far, They're like, they finally beat somebody that's
winning. They're not better than the Chiefs.
No, I that's what I tell you. I'm like, are they better than Kansas City?
No.
No way. If the Chiefs didn't have a sleepwalk at home against the Raiders, they'd be undefeated too. So, I mean, I think
and they don't play this year. Let's just clear that up.
Yeah, I know. We already looked. So yeah. That they don't. Unfortunately, it'd be one hell of a game if they did play.
And it probably will be a good game
in the AFC Championship game, maybe, but I when I look at Pittsburgh, I don't get a good vibe. Like, I don't think they're going to be good for much longer. I mean, they're going the next three games because the next three games are
tough. There's a very good chance they'll be 10-0 heading into Thanksgiving night, the rematch in this game.
Ooh, that's Thanksgiving night?
That's Thanksgiving night. Ravens. Oh, that's it. Ravens Steelers at Pittsburgh
on Thanksgiving night. Ooh, that's a good game.
And that's a must-win for Baltimore because
if they don't, I don't know if Pittsburgh is
going to lose. Also, if they don't win that game, they're going on the road for the playoffs. Ooh. Because they will not. The division is likely gone because now, because Baltimore does have that second loss, now they're two back, and they're going to have to win a tiebreaker. Good luck.
Yeah.
With that happening, listen again. I've said it before on the show, almost a year to the day, and I'll say it again. Until Lamar Jackson proves to me that he can go in and win a big game like that, he ain't won shit.
Yep.
And it's just getting to the point now where, at first, it was you could excuse it for his lack of experience or his lack of this, lack of that. As someone says at the beginning of the show, it's time.
Yeah.
He needs to win a game of this magnitude, and if the playoff narrative continues for him now. The saving grace he's going to have is they're probably going to go on the road and play a pretty weak division champion. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I also don't think that his receivers did him any. You know, Hollywood Brown, he had one catch for the touchdown. That was it.
Yeah.
Willie Snead, the fourth, junior, the third, whatever, had a nice game. But then he couldn't hang on that ball at the end. Mark Andrews had a key drop in there. Their running game is great. I mean, that's Dobbins, Gus
Edwards. Yeah, Baltimore is great until they make them throw the football. Right. Then they're in trouble. I mean, I know sometimes they get lucky and Lamar finds Mark Andrews in the back of the end zone, which he always manages to do, but...
Did you just burp on the air?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No.
What was that?
No, but it's just like, the Ravens are just... Ugh. I just can't look at the Ravens and say, that is a really good football team. I just can't say that. I think at times I can say that, but I can't say distinctly, that is a really good football team. That's a Kansas City-leveled football team. No, I can't say that.
Speaking of a team I can't say that about, and I really wish I could because I really like watching Justin Herbert play.
Yeah.
But you can't lose that way to the Broncos.
They've lost four games in a row when they were up by at least 14 points.
The Chargers go for 485 yards. Justin Herbert,
they're blowing them out.
Looks like a real deal. They build a 24-3 lead against Denver.
We're like, great, game over. I don't have to watch this game anymore.
And then all of a sudden, here comes, you know, Philip Lindsay and Albert Ogunbowale and Deshaun Hamilton I don't know. I took a best shot at it.
That's pretty good.
And they score four touchdowns in the second
in
half
a row.
To win. And nothing against the Broncos, who are a mediocre team at best, but they're not that good. And the Chargers aren't that bad, but man, Herbert makes some inexplicable, and again, he's a rookie, I get it, that's why he's going to do it.
Yeah.
But, can't lose games like that. Yeah. And that might be where Anthony Lynn's job is in jeopardy, because I think he's got a talented enough roster to win. I just don't think you can.
Is this a head coach's problem or a player's problem? I think it's more on the players.
I think this is a coaching issue.
I think it's a players thing.
I don't know. I don't know.
Is Anthony Lynn calling the plays? No, he isn't. Is he calling the offensive defensive plays? No, he isn't.
Is he responsible for the coaching the team?
To an extent. Yes.
To an extent, he's the head coach.
Yeah, he is.
But two and five. I mean,
with this roster? I don't know.
He really?
With this roster?
Yeah. Keenan Allen?
Yeah. Herbert?
Justin Jackson?
Yeah.
Mike Williams? Hunter Henry?
They traded Desmond King this morning, but I mean...
Well, that should tell you something.
Bosa, Ingram. I mean, just
yeah. I don't. To me, this is a coaching issue.
They look like the Falcons to me. I mean, they both blow leads. They both have talent at some key spots, but they can't keep a damn lead.
Well, what happened to the Falcons coach?
Yeah, fired. I could see Anthony Lynn getting fired.
I think if they go 4-12, he's going to get fired.
I think Anthony Lynn's more. What do you think Anthony Lynn is? Is he a players coach? What is
yes.
he? Is he also a players coach?
Yeah.
Gives the players a lot of leeway?
Might need to be a little. Maybe need to shorten the leash a little bit there, boss.
Well, who are you going to replace him with?
Somebody else? No. Can you imagine an offensive guru in there with.
Someone like Eric Bieniemy? I mean, you know.
Well, wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
I'd like to see him with Justin Herbert and some of that offensive talent.
Please come to Minnesota, please. I'll fire.
Well, they're not firing Zimmer now.
I'll fire Zimmer for that.
Not happening. Saints 26, Bears 23, and overtime.
Gotta hate both these teams.
The Saints continue to find ways to win ugly games. The Bears continue to find ways to stay in games with some miracle.
See, the Bears won the battle, the Saints won the war, because the battle was won by the Bears on the field, because it was Friday Night SmackDown there at some point during that game.
Yeah, that was interesting, to say the least. As Javon Wims decides to take a...
The nice quick two-piece out of the
Saints
corner.
Yeah, and then he punches Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who...
With a nice quick two-piece, and then this, he punches him once... He's like, hey, the second time he does it, and they start to tug it on the face mask, like, uh-oh.
As I said during the game, he's not the first guy to want to hit Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Just ask Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas is the one that hit him in practice, and that got Thomas suspended for a game. By the way, Michael Thomas, I don't know when the hell he's ever going to play again, but
I mean, he's
played one game.
He's the Antonio Brown of this decade, this age's receivers.
You know, and I'm going to add two more things to my things I hate about football list.
Oh, here we go.
One of them is any play involving Taysom Hill.
Oh, what? You already said that.
Seriously.
You've already said that.
And then the other one is when announcers say, there's a minute two on the clock. Say, like, there's 62 seconds left
in
the half.
Wow.
It's a minute two.
It's like, wow, you can do basic math. Good job.
And Joe Buck did it in this game, too, which is why it reminded me of it.
So is it okay if the announcer says there's a minute and change left? Is that good?
I'm okay with a minute and change, but... I don't like 73 seconds left in this one.
Would Charlie Jones say that?
Charlie Jones would say it like, with 76 seconds remaining in the first half, along with Jimmy Cephalo, I'm Charlie Jones. Dolphins, Chargers, another classic.
I mean, they try to sound smart when the producers are making them sound smart. And it's just like...
Is that like the same quarterback room?
Yeah. Shut up and call the game.
Honestly. Drew Brees goes for 280 yards, two touchdowns. Alvin Kamara, actually, first time I think Kamara has had like a really noticeable
Kamara?
Impact.
Yeah, Kamara?
Nine catches in the game for 96 yards to go to 67 rushing yards. Nick Foles, whatever.
I mean all NFL media wants to complain more. Trubisky was 3-0. He was terrible. I know he won the games. But he was terrible in those three games.
Trubisky's terrible. Foles.
By the way, is it just me or is all NFL media Bears fans? Are they all Bears fans to you? Do they do to me?
I don't know.
They all seem like Bears, Eagles, and Cowboys fans. I don't know.
Might be just there. Well, I don't have an answer. Chicago, I get a little bit because a lot of those journalists and everything went to Northwestern, but
or they went to Syracuse.
Yeah, one of the two. Anyway, Bears. Big loss for the Bears. They're at a golden opportunity, really, to get a game again from Green Bay, but that didn't happen. And so, interestingly enough, now that we've gotten through all these teams, the Vikings gained an entire game on the whole division because everybody else lost.
And this might be crazy, but if this division keeps going the way it is, the Vikings could secretly win this division.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Exactly what I'm saying.
It's highly unlikely.
Is it highly unlikely? Sure it is. Because they still have to play the Bears twice, and they still have to play the Lions twice. Mm-hmm. If they sweep those four games, there's a shot they can do this. But they still have Tampa Bay on the schedule. Tampa and the way Tampa's playing, maybe that's a winnable game, too. I don't know.
49ers, a noble effort against the Seattle Seahawks, but they lose 37-27. But really, the bigger loss is off the field.
Injuries.
Garoppolo out six weeks.
Six weeks. And minimum
Kittle,
6 weeks.
Kittle
eight.
out eight.
Eight.
just pretty much towards the end of the year.
So that's the season.
I think the 49ers are a team I have waffled on so much this year, because first I thought they were going to be really good.
Yeah, so
then they went. Then I thought they might lose seven in a row. And now I'm thinking back to they're going to. Then they started winning.
And then they did that, and I'm thinking.
And now they've got to play Green Bay on a short week.
Without your quarterback. Without
your
starting.
Your two best offensive players are out.
And all your running backs are out.
And that leaves it to.
To Michael Hasty?
CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins and.
Jamichael Hasty.
And Brandon Ayuk and.
Kendrick Moore and Stu Styles.
From Eastern Washington, right. So we'll see what happens there, but I think it's going to be a long night for San Francisco. They got so far behind in this one, it wasn't even funny. It was 30-7 before they mounted a rally and managed to hang in there, including a touchdown from Ross Dwelly from
San Diego.
And actually, the total yardage was almost dead even, but the Niner turnovers were just the killers.
Yeah, I think Jimmy G threw a pick in the red zone. Yeah. I'm just like.
Yeah, not good. Russell Wilson continues to do what Russell Wilson does, throwing for 261 yards and four touchdowns.
As much as the Niners are tracking themselves, like, oh, Jimmy G is our franchise quarterback, I don't know about that. I mean, anybody can hand off to a running back. Anybody can do that. But it's just like, you got to be better than that. If you're going to play Seattle, they're going to score, and if your defense can't stop them and you're getting stopped, you're going to need somebody who can throw the ball to get you back in the ball game. Yeah. And he's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
No, no. I don't think that Nick Mullins and his ugly face or CJ Beathard are going to get them back.
Why are you going to insult Nick Mullins like that?
He's ugly.
Making more money than you are.
If you looked at his face, I would tell you.
Speaking of guys, I looked at their face enough for a while. Let's have a little flashback. Yay! As we talk about the Sunday night game. And this particular quarterback who had a rough night.
8 seconds to go. Seeking a tournament. DiNucci in the end zone. Picked off. And it ends just like last year for Ben DiNucci. Hendricks.
And you know how much I love that clip? I can watch that all day.
So that was the last game Ben DiNucci started, and it didn't get much better for him, as again he lost to an NDSU quarterback.
His name was Carson Wentz.
And then, now look, Carson Wentz didn't exactly become the second coming of Tom Brady out there on Sunday night.
Or Randall Cunningham.
Or Ron Jaworski or Donovan McNabb or anybody other Eagle quarterback.
Jim McMahon.
Are we going to do Eagles quarterbacks now? Okay.
If you want to. Doug Peterson.
Good.
How about Bobby Hoying?
Bobby Hoying.
Winner.
Wow. That's good.
What was the guy?
Randall Cunningham was good too.
There's a guy named Roman, right? Roman.
How about Kevin Cobb?
Yeah.
How about Michael Vick?
Yeah.
Remember those?
No, Roman Gabriel?
Roman Gabriel, your grandfather will like that. How about Bobby Brister? He started for the Eagles for a while.
You mean your Richie Kotek and bench?
How could we leave out Sam Bradford?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Sam Bradford, who played for everybody.
Nick Foles, Nate Sudfeld, Josh McCown.
Ty Detmer,
yes.
Rodney Pete.
No, Coy Detmer.
It was Ty Detmer.
It was Coy.
No.
Both of them played there.
Oh, they both played there. You're right. An internet search has confirmed you are correct.
They both played there.
Still like the Bobby Hoying one. That was good.
Bobby Hoying.
How about Norm Snead? That's the one that your grandfather was like.
Norm Snead.
Norm Snead. Mike Borlia?
Sonny Jurgensen.
Joe Pisarcik. How could I forget Joe Pisarcik?
Sonny Jurgensen?
Wait a minute now. We got to go back to Joe Pisarcik.
Fumbles the football. You know about Joe Pisarcik. Picked up by Herman number 15.
That's a touchdown. Anyway.
Sonny Jurgensen, Norm Van Brocklin.
Jeff Kemp.
Yes.
Red Kirkman was their first starting quarterback.
The grandfather of Tom Kirkman from Designated Survivor?
I don't know. Or? Tommy Thompson? Not the... I'm just reading names here.
I got you.
Adrian Burke. Norm Van Brocklin, of course. Sonny.
If you talk about Eagles quarterbacks, they got wear those jerseys they wore in 2009, like the pastel uniform.
Oh, by the way, the 60s quarterback they had was King Hill.
King Hill.
And not King of the Hill.
The King of the Hill.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, like, but no, that was literally his name was King Hill.
Yeah, like King Frazier?
Right, like King Frazier. But so, of course, that means I have to play this. King Hill. That was not planned, by the way. That was.
I thought you were at the King of the Hill.
Oh, I could do that too. enjoy that little musical interlude there for a second. Okay, that's enough of that. But sorry. I can't play it all the time, you know.
So. We did like every Eagles quarterback is having a minute.
We're going to reward ourselves. There we go. Sorry.
God, this, please bookmark that, this is the please.
Dumbest show we've ever done. Anyway. So anyway, back to Ben DiNucci, which I think is where all this mess
began.
Ben DiNucci. That was awful. I mean, not that I didn't
I didn't
expect anything less. And again, I know Wentz didn't play very well, but man, DiNucci just looked totally unprepared to be out there.
He has this stupid sidearm pass that you think works, and I'm like,
he threw the ball 40 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I 20 times.
21 of 40 for 180 yards, and of course, no touchdowns. Got
Fletcher Cox kicked his ass about 4 to 5
dumped
times.
Dumped 4 times, ran the ball 5 for 22, fumbled twice.
Yeah. It seems like if he got hit on the backside, he lost the ball.
Yeah, it wasn't good. No, and
His ball security was not there.
Well, I don't think we can really rip his ball security when Wentz freaking threw it all over the yard and fumbled twice, got picked twice.
Now, his patent-pending high pass that he always throws.
Yeah, so 4 turnovers didn't cost the Eagles, but certainly didn't help. But the Eagles only gained 222 yards and still against by far the league's worst defense. But Travis Fulgham, Jalen Reagor both caught touchdowns. And, of course, the Rodney McLeod fumble return at the end. And then, the Cowboys intentionally snapped the ball out of the end zone on the punt to get a
they still got a chance.
It was just a pathetic display of football. Let's give it up for Stephon Diggs' little brother, though, Trayvon, who got two picks
and gave up 2 scores. I mean, right. it all
works out. It's a good night all the way around for everybody. So Ben DiNucci. Not a good night for Ben DiNucci, and that was pretty bad. So we go into the DiNucci era. Now he's under a 50.
Dalton should be back next week.
We'll see. They've got maybe DiNucci can hang on long enough where he can start against the Vikes I don't even think the Vikes would have to worry about giving up much to.
I know our corners are terrible, but Ben DiNucci's a worse quarterback. So.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, pretty bad indeed. And again, in the massive display of football going on here tonight, the Bucks are now down 17-15. So we got a real slobber knocker going on here between those two teams. So it'll be interesting to see how this one ends. After we get off the air, we'll have to take a look at what's going on there. But so let's, as we always do, we'll go through the standings quick and just again evaluate where we're all at. So in the AFC right now, it's Pittsburgh on top. The 2 seed would be Kansas City at 7-1. Pittsburgh at 7-0. We'd have the Bills on the 3 seed at 6-2, and then Colts, Titans tied in the AFC South at 5-2 apiece. So much more to come in that one. Daniel Jones just threw an awful interception that should have never been thrown.
True.
And so Indianapolis, Tennessee, so you're going to have one of those teams, the 4, one the 5. Baltimore would be the 6. And right now Cleveland still would be the 7 with Miami and the Vegas Raiders at 4-3 to go in there. On the flip side in the NFC, you've got right now Seattle as the number 1 seed. Tampa and Green Bay would be the 2 right now. They're tied. Tampa wins tonight, they'd obviously be the clear 2 seed. Green Bay the 3, Philadelphia the 4 in number only. And then you've got the Saints and the Bears, and the Cardinals would be the next 3 seeds, with the Rams right now on the outside looking in, coming into the as we go to the midway point of the season, with most everybody coming up has had their bye weeks. Well, so a busy weekend in the NFL comes to an end. We'll see how that all shakes out. Coming up, college football weekend. Not anything too special.
I mean, Minnesota, you are the biggest fraud job I've ever seen.
What a fraudulent
team. And so is Michigan. Like I look at the Gophers every year. I'm thinking, you are the media's darling because of PJ Fleck and his roll the boat strategy. Well, you know what? Maybe he's taking a class at NDSU because they know how to win. You can't consistently beat Maryland. It's Maryland. They're a doormat in the Big Ten.
With Tua's
little brother. And you know what? He's not that good. But you made him look terrific.
They made him look like Tua at Alabama.
Yeah. And you know what? You still could have won the game if your kicker could have made a damn extra point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like...
Well, they should have never let him back
in. No, exactly. And it's just, I look at the... It's like, it's Maryland. Maryland. They're terrible.
Maryland by Maryland.
Yes.
Yeah. They were bad.
But Michigan, too. You can't lose at home against a Spartans team that you are 10 times better than. Mm-hmm. And this Lombardi kid, that quarterback, just goes to the front.
323 and 3 touches. Yeah. Pretty good night for him. But an impressive performance by Ricky White, the freshman wide receiver, who goes for 196 yards and a TD.
Hey, Ricky!
Including that 30-yarder at the beginning. Good for Michigan State. That's a huge win for them. Michigan out of the national title conversation for sure.
They weren't in it to begin with.
Well, maybe not, but at least now they're pretty much permanently out of it. Biggest developments of the weekend, of course, Trevor Lawrence tested positive for COVID. Clemson hangs on to beat Boston College after having to come from way down.
So they should have lost that.
And
game.
Sets up an interesting scenario because Trevor Lawrence has already been ruled out of next weekend's game against the Fighting Irish.
Of Notre Dame.
Of Notre Dame, baby. I don't know how it's going to go, but you can't tell me that it's not going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, Clemson by 30. Exactly. Wait, we're thinking the same here.
Yeah. Are we?
Yeah, Clemson by 30.
Clemson. Are you sure?
Notre Dame is a huge fraud.
You think we're going to hear more of this one instead?
Well, it's at Notre Dame Stadium, so probably not.
Probably not. Interesting, however, to see how that plays out next week.
If Notre Dame loses, they're out.
If Clemson loses, then we're out.
No, they're not.
One loss ACC team over an undefeated other Power 5 school in the 4-team playoff? I don't know.
You know why they'll get in? Because they're Clemson.
It's going to come down to the SEC second place team and the lowest ranked undefeated champion. Georgia didn't do themselves any favors by really struggling to beat Kentucky.
So in the ACC, it's just one conference, right? There's no Coastal and Atlantic divisions. That's not a thing.
I don't know. I think they're doing the divisions for playoff purposes, but no, they're going to wind up having to beat North Carolina is what they're going to have to do to win.
Notre Dame?
No, it's Clemson.
Clemson.
Right. You have to be North Carolina.
I don't know if they're in separate divisions or not, but if they are. I mean, they're gonna meet again, and Clemson will have Lawrence by then, and they will kick the crap out of Notre Dame.
I believe that to be true as well. So
your Fighting Irish will go down at some point. It's gonna be one of these next couple.
They're just doing, I think, one big whole division standing here for this year. I don't think they're doing Coastal.
If it's the top two, like. Then Clemson's gonna be North Carolina when Lawrence gets back. That's a given. If you beat Notre Dame once,
Guess Miami could get in the.
Miami could. That's true, but Notre Dame, you know how much I hate Notre Dame. They don't schedule for crap on the next 30.
I'm aware of your somewhat
dislike.
Are you going to go with the fake ID of football?
They both
college
don't
football?
Schedule anybody. Your record says what you are. What's the cliche? Your record is as good as you are.
You are what your record
Thank
says you,
you
are. Do I have to do everything on the show? Okay. Anyway.
You want to write and produce the show?
Yeah, I do anyway, so that's quite all right. No, anyway.
I'm just like, Notre Dame, they're a fraud. They've always been a fraud. They will continue to be
And they
fraud.
Probably will be continue to be a fraud. Other scores of note to wrap up the weekend. Yeah, Notre Dame, 31-13 over Georgia Tech. Indiana stayed undefeated in the conference against Rutgers. Iowa State pounds Kansas.
Nobody cares.
Kansas State got pounded by West Virginia.
That matters.
So it'll be, you know, we'll talk about these games more later in the week, but... Interesting one Friday night, Miami NC State coming up. BYU Boise State, that's a big game.
That's a big one.
Florida Georgia, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party this weekend.
No, BYU Boise State, people say BYU is really good.
And the Pac-12's coming back, too.
That doesn't matter.
Stanford, Oregon.
That doesn't matter. Like I've said for years, the Pac-12 is only as good as Oregon is.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
But Boise and BYU, their quarterback, Zach Wilson, they say he's really good. Great. Who is he beating?
Well, we'll find out how good he is.
Who is he beating? Nobody.
But that's the thing. These are the kind of this is the find it out
game. I mean, these are the two top Mountain West teams. It's Boise and BYU. And I will always pick my boys from Boise because I love Boise State.
I know you do have a dangerous
deep love for Boise State.
With Boise State. One more time before we go.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I did a dance break.
We've made Kelly Rowland a lot of money tonight doing that, but that's flat out ridiculous. Anyway, thank you for indulging us with our commander. That's just the kind of stuff on this show you can't script out in any way, shape, or form. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. For all the links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find
you? Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, @GrantLegend. One, follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram at legend_loudmouth_pod. That's legend_loudmouth_pod. You miss it. If you like the show, hit the show. We don't care. Do us, please. And subscribe to the YouTube channel, please.
Coming up, everybody, last public service announcement. Don't forget to vote tomorrow, or if you've already voted, congratulations.
Vote for yourself. Actually.
Don't forget, I did. so we won't go into that on this show. But anyway, don't forget to get out and vote, and make sure you exercise your civic duty. We'll find out how it all shakes out tomorrow. And then Thursday, we'll be back to talk about other sets of numbers, previews, reviews, and things upcoming for the football weekend. It's been a blast, folks. Just remember, we'll be your commander here on the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.